Hey everybody, Simon Rettner here. Welcome to The Checkout. And it's also a podcast. So if you're used to hearing this as a radio show, you can download it as well by going to our website at checkoutjazz.org and on iTunes and Stitcher as well. Today's show features Keith Whitty, the co-leader of the band Thiefs. He self-identifies as a jazz musician on double bass. However, listening to his newest recording, Graft, that might not be so obvious. Whitty also plays a variety of electronics, taking us to a modern soundscape, mixing in elements of electro, hip-hop, and spoken word. And he's got a fantastic cast of musicians with him, fronting him on this journey. His co-leader, the French saxophonist Christophe Penzini, the pianist Aaron Parks, rapper Mike Ladd, and so many more. And we speak to Keith Whitty about how growing up in New York City all his life has informed this very authentic sound.
Sont partis les temps sereins, quand c'était l'aube dans mon jardin, l'après-midi sous mon grand arbre, je savourais du silence, je somnolais comme un lézard.
Here on The Checkout, we like music that captured the essence of an era, a zeitgeist. And this recording that we're going to explore today, led by the bassist and electronics artist Keith Whitty, Thiefs does just that, and I commend him for that. Thank you, Keith Whitty, for joining us here to talk about your recording, Thiefs Graft. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Simon. Pleasure to be here.
That is a thing, though, right? Jazz has problems with.
Keep talking.
Making music that sounds like music that should be made today.
Yes. I think that is a matter of perspective, of opinion. I've never felt anything but love and admiration for those who are preserving a part of the art form that comes from perhaps a different era. It's never felt like the path that I could honestly pursue. As much as jealous as I am when I watch, you know, a great, great straight ahead player play something at 350 BPMs for 10 minutes and I'm just in awe and I think it's beautiful and, you know, a wonderful art form, a craft even. Yeah, that was never something I felt like I could really dedicate my time to in ignorance of everything that's happening sonically around us now.
Well, let's listen to exactly what we're talking about on this recording, Thiefs, and we'll get to the meaning behind the word graft. Here's I Live in Fear, featuring Mike Ladd and another rapper from France, I presume.
Yes, indeed.
I live in fear. Slip knots falling off the threads of screws, leaving me screwed as the thread of life gets thinner. I live in fear. Drop this like black drops in reverse from black pools. But the sky turns black, and I'm black, so that color makes me safe, sane, sane. I live in fear. Troubling, cause and effect, tumbling. Wrapped round, cold sheets fumbling through the sound of heartbeats that keep the nightmares talking. I live in wonder, wonder of the thunder of the unknown, and the shaking of microphones that call us like drums. In a drop of rhetoric that falls like that drop.
San Diego suburb ranch, Santa Fe, 39 people dressed in black tees, sweats, black nights, and purple armbands, reading Heaven's Gate away team. Went out for pizza, then saw a movie, then returned home, gathered $5 and quarters needed, either for a ticket for the vending machine or for the spaceship they were about to board.
Me parle pas de barbare, le flot de bâbord à tribord, le papier barbac, le pic est carnivore. J'ai le vacarme de la musique pour me reposer. On m'avait dit faut prendre des risques, je n'ai jamais osé. Je n'ai pas pu avancer, j'avais les jambes arquées. J'étais coincé. Je ne regarde pas les journaux, ne lis pas la télé. Je vis loin du troupeau à qui l'on apprend à bêler. Le soleil se lève et je ferme les volets. Et j'écris ma descente vers les sommets. Toute la journée je suis coincé entre une chaise et un bureau. Le stylo pique est une épée que je sors de son fourreau. Que vais-je bien pouvoir dire à cette feuille blanche qui veut que je la souille? Que je suis flic, elle est suspecte, qu'il faut que je la fouille. Les mains sur le capot, ça va tourner à la pavure. Il n'est question que de violence quand on en vient à l'écriture. Écrasées, des graves effacées, des bases bien tassées, la gueule pas cassée, des phases à caser, des phrases crasseuses sur les démocraties. On me demande de rapper, exister, résister, ne plus être à la quai, indigne héritier, vérité tamisée, le texte enseigné, bien traumatisé, réveiller l'inertie. I live in fear.
I live in fear, featuring Mike Ladd. And who is this French rapper?
Gaël Faye is an incredible MC in the French language. He's also recently a really renowned and celebrated author. He, about a year ago, put out a book, published a book called Petit Pays, Little Country, that has completely blown up in France, sold millions of copies. And we're just glad we got a hold of him first.
And so what's this song about? I live in fear. Do you live in fear?
I think if we're all honest, the answer is yes, we all do. There's a lot to be afraid of in this world, and it's something as adults we have to figure out how to measure and quell to get through our lives and to be positive and to be productive. And that's something that I feel like we're not supposed to talk about. We're supposed to put on a strong face and walk about our lives in confidence with positivity, but we're all terrified of so many things in the world, and I wanted to give the poets in the song a chance to be completely blatantly honest about that. In context of the larger sort of zoomed out topic of graft, a lot of that has to do with perhaps being an immigrant or being somewhere that's not familiar or where you represent the other.
Well, let's rewind for a second. What does graft mean?
The grafting of one element, it's usually a botanical element, onto another to create a desired effect. So it's a blending or a infusion of something foreign to create something new. And from our perspective, we're talking about that culturally as well as biologically, genetically, what happens when people from different backgrounds come together. People who come from different lands, different cities, different countries, different religions, when they come together and they become something new themselves, create a new human being by procreating, and then what does it mean to be that new person? And how do we walk around in our lives bearing that new culture?
Well, let's listen to some of this new culture you're creating with a musician we've recently worked with here on the Checkout in our recorded performance of Haley Neiswanger's set at Berklee College of Music, with this drummer that I understand plays with SZA and all kinds of like big names.
That's
David
right.
Fraser Jr.
Yes, he's busy working in the pop world, but I don't really like to minimize the people he's playing with by just calling them pop. These are really creative. The singer-songwriter Gabriel
Garzón Montano.
Thank you, Gabriel Garzón Montano. So David's covering a lot of ground. His fluidity with electronics is very deep. When we lost Guillermo Brown to his Los Angeles life, we were sad to see him go. Of course, he plays a role in this album as well.
The drummer and electronic artist as well, Guillermo Brown.
That's right.
Thirsty Ear back in the day.
Yes, soul at the hands of the machine.
Well, take us to your favorite David Fraser moment on the record, doing exactly what you said.
The song Beat One.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'll reveal, the notion behind it was just the inception of life, how things all spring from one first moment. David is moving through a lot of different territory on the kit, onto the electronics, improvising. There's sort of a free jazz moment later in the song where he's really playing that sort of pedagogical, sort of historic approach to drum playing, but from the electronic set. Man, we didn't know what we were getting when we signed up with David. We needed him for a tour, and over the course of that tour, we said, "Wow, this guy is—he's really the one. He can really handle this chair and take it to a new place in a way that we weren't even quite expecting or ready for." So we're very blessed to have him.
In the beginning, there was a sound, an explosion from another world, a footstep in the cathedral, imperceptible except for those with an ear to the dirt. The poetic enzyme intent on counting millennia. Now, flick on the light, we'll be alright when the sun's out. I've never known how, I've never known why, but I do believe in the lack of beginnings and ends. Do we stretch out straight from the center, our body laid out on a stretcher? There'll never be another one quite like. Every moment is a terabyte of magic and wonder, massive and minuscule. Snapshot, data blast, capture the ritual. Every moment is a miracle. Bloodlust and bitterness, torment and loss. Pitchfork piety, calculate the cost. Who am I but you? Who are you but a mastodon? Who are they but us? Who are we but they who lit the first fire and passed it on? Descendants of the first drum, the one that set the world ablaze, the one that pushed play on the pendulum, spark in your chest, throw back to beat one.
Keith Whitty from the band Thiefs joins us here on the Checkout to talk about, this is your second record as a group?
That's the second Thiefs record, yeah.
Called Graft, Le Graft. I hate describing or putting a name on a sound, but how would you qualify or quantify what you do here?
Part of the impetus behind forming this band was to give everybody the opportunity to be as completely honest as a musician as they felt like they could be. You know, in a modern musician's life, we try on a lot of hats, we get pigeonholed here and there, but all those different experiences that we've had, everybody in this band has played a ton of hip hop, has played a ton of jazz, has played electronic music. We said, how do we just write from our hearts for these members, for this band, and let it be true? And I will go out on a limb and say that this is jazz music. This is 21st century jazz.
I love it. That's what we want to hear.
Jazz needs to be have an element of freedom. It needs to come from somewhere. It needs to reflect culture.
And we need to reclaim the word.
Let's take it. Let's take it. Jazz should have delay on it when it's, you know, so required. It should have electronics in it, or it can be, you know, a piano trio in the basement of a club on 7th Avenue, and it can be its purest and most beautiful thing in any of these forms. And I'll stand up and shout that from a mountaintop. There's no reason that any of this doesn't qualify as jazz.
Well, let's listen to another track from the recording with your former drummer, electronics wizard, Guillermo Brown on Anthro. We'll be right back. So Keith Whitty, what is it in this world that gives you the most trepidation?
The honest answer is I'm a father. So watching these kids grow up and watching them reflect themselves out into the world is frightening. It's a fearful time in that regard. And yet, it's so beautiful to watch life form and grow. That juxtaposition, carrying that around in your heart every single day, volleying back and forth between the dangers that they are going to have to navigate, things that we've never really ever thought about when we were children, that our parents weren't thinking about. And trying to be a artist in the midst of all that is really, it's really something to ponder. The question of its worth is raised every single day. I won't hide that. And its viability. So what's beautiful is that I feel like I'm in this constant state of evaluation of things from an honest place of making art, raising children, trying to figure out a path forward in those two adventures at the same time. I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. So take us to a point in the record with one of your polymath lyricists. Take us to a turn of phrase or a quote that sticks with you. Could be a lesson that you would teach to your child.
There's a duet on the album between Mike Ladd and Aaron Parks on a composition called Pas d'ici, which means not from here. It's fully improvised, 100% improvised in the studio. Mike and Aaron, they took the baton from the melody that the trio played and went into this piano and voice duet. He talks about racism and refers to it as paper cuts on your mind. Like the minuscule, the tiny little shots that are fired at you when you experience that kind of hatred or injustice, and how they gather steam inside of you. A paper cut is such a little thing, but however many paper cuts a day over however many days or however many years, that line, it kind of crushed me when I heard it in the studio, and it crushed me every time I was working on mixing the record, and I still think it's really one of the most beautiful moments. And I love that neither Christoph, the co-founder of the band, or myself was even playing music at this time. We created a little something and then let our invited guests go.
Now it's no myth that no one knows the crows that Jim got. And Lord knows it's true that we all stuck in those coin slots. But I do know one woman that walked down barrels so clean, unaware of all the lines of race that could cut like little razors on your fingertips, paper cuts on your mind. Until she wrapped her arms around my rage. As I was growing vertical, exploding outward. And she tried to hold on. And her dark European self. As her heart attempted to encompass mine. All them crows and I, with the waves of hate that it pressed upon my generations. Tore her to shreds. If race were a rainbow, it would rain anvils and fall upon all the hearts on the sidewalk. The blood would run and down in the drains, right in the rivers of rain, and all of mama's tears. If race was a rainbow, she'd be a nightmare of colors, surrounded by lightning, headed towards the ground.
Keith Whitty joins us on the checkout. His band is called Thiefs. His album, Graft. I learned recently that even though you are American, you learned French from your wife, and you don't like to probably self-identify with any particular strain of your upbringing.
The strain of my upbringing that I most identify with is New York City, because I'm a New York City native. My parents were born here. Most of my grandparents were born here. And I think that's actually really important to the ideology that goes into this record. A city of immigrants, a city of people of mixed heritage. When you come from somewhere, but you spend enough time in proximity with people who come from somewhere entirely different than you, these cultures merge. They become something new. They take on a new shape.
Were you born and raised in Harlem, where you currently live?
I was born and raised on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I went to schools in Harlem or on the border of Harlem. But I live now in a neighborhood that was considered more or less off limits to me when I was a kid. And yet the neighborhood I grew up in became off limits to me over time. And this is the way things change in a place like this. I grew up in the Upper West Side when it was not a wealthy neighborhood. It was a middle class and upper middle class in some places. Most of my heritage is Jewish from Eastern Europe, going, you know, four, five, six generations back, with some mixed in from Ireland and Scotland, and some of those Jewish immigrants coming here via Latin America. And I lived on the Upper West Side, and that was, you know, it's a very normal place to grow up at that point. When I go over there now, you can't have an apartment there for less than $3 or $4 million in the neighborhood that I grew up in. When I started working in Harlem at an after-school program, it was an after-school arts program. I was about 23 years old. You know, an apartment came up right near there, and I was really concerned about being a gentrifier, about what that would mean. There were very few people of my complexion living in that neighborhood, and I was sensitive to the history of that neighborhood, and I really didn't want to be an unwelcome intruder. And you know, all my friends who lived around there said, "You're a beautifier, because you're here working with children and you're working for the betterment of this neighborhood." I've been living in the same building in Harlem, in Central Harlem, for about 17 years.
Amazing. So just in how has Harlem changed in 17 years?
It's almost indescribable. It's almost hard to remember it's not hard for me, but it's hard to explain to people who walk around my neighborhood now as it's, you know, sort of enjoying its bouginess and its arrival, and make them understand, if they're not from there, that this was a place, you know, marked by burned out buildings on every other or every third building. I used to be able to look out my window and see the sky through the windows of the buildings across the street. You know, it's been hard for me to accept the possibility that my being there made other people feel like it might be okay for them to come there and live there now. And it's not a thought I've really ever been comfortable with. But, you know, gentrification is a many-headed monster. Doesn't mean one thing. I couldn't live in the neighborhood where I grew up, and so I had to find somewhere that I could afford and that I also really liked, because I love Harlem. I loved it from day one. I've never been made to feel anything but welcome by the residents of my building, people who've lived there 40 years, you know. And so I think it's, to me, if you're going to graft yourself onto an existing community, a beautifier is what you have to be. You have to be there to be about that community.
We just heard IWBAH from Thiefs. Keith Whitty joins us here. What does that stand for?
I'm not sure. I'm at liberty to...
Come on.
This is Christoph.
Is there some language we need to censor?
No, it's all in English. Maybe he's ready. I should ask him first, but it's a very simple title. It stands for I Will Buy a House.
Speaking of gentrification, here we go. So that was
this was this was
I
a matter
your
of
mind.
French of French possible gentrification. We need to shout out Christoph Panzani. He's my co-leader of this band. He's not the saxophonist. He and I write all the music together. He is a really important voice in the French jazz scene. He's playing with a lot of people and creating his own music as well. And he's a little bit, I would say he's an outsider. He's not part of the French jazz mainstream, but he's very well respected, and he's somebody who we come from the same, we're cut from the same cloth, and that if we're not speaking from the heart, it's kind of meaningless. So neither he and I, we lament our lack of, you know, bebop language sometimes, the things that we're missing, the things that we would love to improve upon in our pursuit of jazz. But both of us, I think we really come together on that need to speak honestly through our music.
You must have a handful of quick stories, anecdotes of your time being in New York, moments of living in this incredible city that have informed your development as a person and thus an artist.
I'll tell you, when I was a teenager, let's say maybe 17 years old, I had really swallowed the jazz pill. I loved it. It was growing on me all the time. I grew up actually playing rock and playing in clubs. When I was 14 years old, it was really easy for kids to play in adult clubs and bars. So I had my band, you know, we had braces and we were playing in bars where, you know.
You were conning the bar owners to get in there? How did that work?
No, man, they were pulling kids off the street to come in and spend money in their bars. It was really ridiculous.
Before they were carding folks.
Before they were carding. But so I would go out with my friends, and if we would find ourselves downtown, inevitably at some point I would usually break off and I would go to the Vanguard and I would sit on the steps and listen to the music from that steep staircase in the hallway.
You wouldn't pay the entry fee because you didn't have the money.
I did not have, it was probably a $20 total, you know, 15 plus five at that point, maybe. And I definitely didn't have the money, and I would just sit there, and you can really hear from out there. It's not very well soundproof, that door at the bottom of the stairs. And
Lorraine Gordon let you get away with it because you're this young kid.
Nobody even saw me. I was very clandestine. I would just wait until the music started. I'd like maybe get a slice of pizza next door and then sneak down the stairs and hang there and absorb.
I'm always stunned when I look at, you know, documentaries of any kind that were shot in New York 30 years ago and just how grimy, nasty, gangsta this city was.
It was dirty. It was very dirty. Yeah. It's one of those things where if you've been here a long time and you watch it change over time, you sort of, it's hard to identify with those memories until you're confronted with a picture. And it was also dangerous. It kind of, the gangster element of the way people were acting went along, and the kids were wild. And if you were a 14-year-old, 16-year-olds were very frightening because they were after you. And they wanted to track you down, and they wanted to scare you, and they wanted to chase you. So every relationship you made was important and potentially strategic. And, you know, the ability to front was very meaningful.
Were you able to front as a white boy in New York of Eastern European Jewish descent? Could you even front?
Well, maybe to my benefit in a lot of those situations, I got accused of being Puerto Rican all the time. My neighborhood had a large Puerto Rican faction. So, but aside from that, yes, you know, the hoodie goes up, the hands go in your jacket, you walk with a little bit of a bop, and the people seem to chase your friend who isn't able to pull that off in the same way. And that was just self-preservation. And now, kids who live in Manhattan now, I don't really feel like they can quite relate. It just wasn't the same. Everything seems to be much more under wraps now. You know, then it was, the seams were coming apart all over the place, and it was wild. And if you talk to people who are 10 years older than me, I remember talking to Adam Rogers about this once because he grew up blocks from me.
The guitarist.
Yeah. I think his mom or somebody in his family had the butcher shop a couple blocks from me where we used to go. You talk to him about growing up in the 70s in New York, and it was a level of wild that I don't know either.
Wow. Incredible. How do we bring back the wild to New York City? Well, maybe Keith Whitty has some ideas. We thank him so much for joining us here to talk about his incredibly compelling and of the moment recording, Thief's Graft. And we hope to see much more music coming from him and his cohort, Christoph Panzeni, on saxophone, woodwinds, electronics, better known in Europe. But glad we're associated with him here in New York. Thank you, Keith Whitty.
Simon Rentner, thanks so much for having us.